Hello. Just so you guys know, this is Unboxed, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. This week, we are talking about Purple Rain. Just in case this is your first time listening on Unboxed, we basically watch a movie each week and make a playlist sort of unpacking the themes and the vibes. All the things, and talking about what we thought of it, and, I don't know, movies and stuff. My co-host, Isabel, is currently in a job interview, which is very exciting for her. I overheard some of it, and I think she was doing really good. So let's all hope that she gets the job, and listen to a little bit more music while we wait for her to get here. I'm very excited. I love Prince. I have only added Prince to the playlist. I might actually add one song that's not Prince, but I just think that since we have an opportunity to celebrate him, why not? So enjoy that. How could you not?
Love is so real. I can't runaway, his pride was too strong. Started raining, baby, the birds were gone. Oh,
love you, baby, I love you so much.
Baby,
maybe we can stay in touch.
Meet me at another world.
Meet me at another world, space and joy.
Who's that très belle?
Who's that très belle?
Mama, girls and boys. Oh.
Si fort, je sentais votre parfum. Votre sourire me dit que nous devrions nous parler sur la piste de danse, baby. Fais cet appel pour moi. Oh oui, baby, sexe et vos courbes, ne résistez pas. Vous savez que vous aimerez ça, baby. Oh, oh, je vous enlacerai avec mes chants, baby. Pendant des heures, je veux vous étonner, baby. Fleurs dans votre bain, amour dans vos draps. Faire l'amour, où nous rencontrerons nous.
Stay in touch. Another world, space, lips, face, happiness, and it's something warm. It's a feeling that I get real warm, warm. Happy when we get what we do, what we do. Happiness and mama is being with you, Lord. Meet me somewhere after dawn. Oh. Look on your lips, set it up. We can talk some more on the dance floor, baby. Hear the words I'm saying, hear the sex I'm laying. Naughty's what I wanna be with you tonight, tonight.
Who's that rebel, mama, girls and boys?
Who's that rebel, mama, girls and boys? Such a bell, mama, girls and boys. Such a bell, mama, girls and boys. Girls and boys. Tracy died
soon after a long fought civil war. Just after I wiped away his last tear, I guess he's better off than he was before. A whole lot better off than the fools he left here. Used to cry for Tracy, cause he was my only friend. Those kind of cars don't pass you every day. I used to cry for Tracy, cause I want to see him again. But sometimes, sometimes life ain't always the way. Sometimes it snows in April. Sometimes I feel so bad, so bad. Sometimes I wish life was never ending, and all good things they say never last. Springtime was always my favorite time of year, a time for lovers holding hands in the rain. Now springtime only reminds me of Tracy's tears. Always cry for love, never cry for pain. He used to say so strong, oh, unafraid to die, unafraid of the death that left me hypnotized. No, staring at his picture, I realize no one could cry the way my Tracy cried. Sometimes it snows in April. Sometimes I feel so bad. Sometimes, sometimes I wish that life was never ending, but all good things they say never last. I often dream of heaven, and I know that Tracy's there. I know that he has found another friend. Maybe he's found the answer to all the April snow. Maybe one day I'll see my Tracy again. Sometimes it snows in April. Sometimes I feel so bad, so bad. Sometimes I wish that life was never ending, but all good things they say never last. But all good things they
Hello, hello. I got so excited to talk that I paused the song and cut off Prince, and I feel like that was sacrilege. But I will turn you on. Just give me a second. If you weren't paying attention before, this week we're talking about Purple Rain. And we watched it last night. I really liked it. I had never seen it before. I feel like so much of Prince's image and even like somewhat the narrative of the film has like transcended into popular culture just because Prince is so iconic. And he was a pop star, and pop stars control culture and influence culture. That's how it works. And I don't know, it was just amazing to sort of see an artist like craft this vision of themselves on screen. I'm like so interested in autoethnography and especially like experimental autoethnography. And that kind of feels like what Purple Rain is. Prince is an artist and he's using all these songs that are like a part of him and communicating his personal experience to bookend and communicate a sort of abstracted version of his life, or at least the feelings that he associates with certain periods of his life. And that was really interesting to see as someone who's in the process of trying to write a screenplay. And that's usually what ends up happening no matter whether you like it or not. And if you're going to star in it, it's going to be so much of you that it's a lot to undertake, and you have to be really calculated in how you do it. And Purple Rain is a really, really good film at doing all of these things, approaching artistic vision, how one sublimates themselves into art, just because it's all leading up to the song Purple Rain, which you know, obviously, at least we know now because the film popularized it and solidified it as a important part of the canon in terms of music history. And it's just, it's a really euphoric moment when you actually reach the song in the film, which is a sign that it was paced really well.
Yeah, I agree, definitely. I think that Purple Rain, I mean, just as a theme of the movie, just like itself is just talking about kind of the culmination of both like Prince's character, so his name in it is the Kid. So I guess the Kid's character coming to terms with, you know, his home environment and how that has affected him, just his, you know, his dad, you know, domestic violence, and dealing with that on a regular basis. So we see like the pain that he's in, and then we see him taking it out on Apollonia, his love interest, and so there's that reconciliation of, you know, there's some criticism earlier on, I think, from Morris, who's kind of like the villain in the story, the antagonist, who is like, oh, you know, he only looks out for himself to Apollonia. And basically also the precursor to like background to Purple Rain was that two of his band members, Lisa and Wendy, wrote the song, and he was refusing to, you know, even listen to it in the beginning, and like, I'm not gonna play anything that you wrote, like, are you kidding me? And then he finally listens to it, you know, later on, and he, you know, of course, he obviously plays it at the end, and it's also kind of a reconciliation for Prince of his, to his purple, it was like his two selves of, like, his biracial identity,
but also it's what I love about this movie. Sorry not to drip to you, but like, I just a lot of what I loved about it is like you can read so many things into it, because like, yes, it can be about his biracial identity, or it can be about gender.
Yeah, no, I was trying to, like, I was trying to kind of talk about everything, like, it, but that's why it is, and I agree, like, that's why it was paced well, because you saw his journey, yeah, and also his gender, you know, gender fluidity.
I am not a boy or a girl, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly.
It's so beautiful. I love that, like, that, like, because I was watching the movie and I was like, oh my gosh, like, it's interesting viewing this movie as the male gaze, because it's so much of it is Prince's gaze, you know? And yeah. So it very much is, you know, the male gaze. But at the same time, Prince himself is so aware of the construct of masculinity, and through the journey of the movie is sort of trying to deconstruct it within himself, and therefore, like, reflexively in film, which I think is really cool, because, like, yes, he had to say that thing to those girls in the beginning because he had to be able to play the song with them at the end. And we had to be able to see that growth and that journey.
Well, because also, and, like, I think the father, you know, that was his model for masculinity was his father, who was a, you know, domestic abuser. Would, you know, they have clips of him beating his mom, or, well, his wife, but the kid's mom. And it's just, like, that comes out again, like I said, with Apollonia, and also the treatment of the women around him. And he, you know, then we slowly start to realize there's an event that occurs. I don't know if we want to, like, spoil it. But
yeah, I was just, well, something I was thinking about that was really interesting is her name is Apollonia, which feels like a reference to Apollo.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that it's Apollo, because Apollo is a man, you know, like, and again, like, in every layer of this film, we're questioning these, like, preconceptions of what these gender roles are. Like, Prince, yes, he hates the part of himself that is his father, but he also hates the part of himself that is his mother. He's, like, trying not to be submissive.
Yeah.
He's trying not to be weak. He's putting on this front in order to avoid that as well. And when we reach Purple Rain, it's an acceptance of, like, neutrality, an acceptance of both. It's almost as if, like, there is, like,
well, I will say that Apollonia, greater. That's her name. That's the...
No, I know.
The actress's name, yeah.
Like, the actual...
The actual actress.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't even know that.
Well, I guess it's her middle name, okay.
But like, yeah. I think that, like, even just the choice to make that her name, it's, like, it's the feminized version of this god of creativity and art. And I think that's really interesting. That, like, recognizing that, like, Prince's creative side comes from this fusion of masculine and feminine energies. And I don't know, I really, that really resonates with me. You can see that in a lot of the symbols that he has, the, like, little, like, half man, half woman, like, sign, you know? The, like, thing, the sign, the, you know what I'm, the symbol?
Yeah.
And he has it, like, goes like this and then this. Like, it's both. I don't know. I love his, like, iconography. He's someone who's incredibly curated in his vision for himself. And I really like that. Did you want to play a little bit more music?
Yes.
Unless you had a PSA already picked out, but it doesn't need to be, like, on the dot.
Yeah.
We'll be back with the PSA.
We will definitely have a PSA for you all.
Don't worry. I know you're on the edge of your seats. Yeah.
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
And it works. If there's life after, we will see. So I can't go like a jerk, systematic overthrow of the upper class. Hollywood conjures images of the past. New world needs spirituality that will last. I've seen the future and it will be.
As we have promised, it is time for the PSA of the hour. This is 4 rules of gun safety. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. This is a public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Thank you. You're tuned to Britain's grooviest radio show, Top of the Pops. And here come those four lads from North London called The Kinks. The song you've heard before, as it's the one that Kink Ray Davies wrote specially for Dave Berry, and it's called The Strange Effect.
Got this strange effect on me, and I like it. You've got this strange effect on me, and I like it. You make my world seem right. You make my darkness bright. Oh yes, you've got this strange effect on me, and I like it.
Just a little teaser of what's to come, our little finale.
But you knew that already.
So we'll talk for a little bit more. It's so sad that this is coming to an end, but it's hard to do this kind of show because Prince's songs are all like 6 minutes. It's so funny. And it's crazy because he makes it work. Like, he says, like, you need all of these 6 minutes and you're gonna be taken on a journey, you know? Like, he makes the music do as much as it possibly can. And I think that's why, I don't know, I've been trying to find a lot of, like, exemplary artists that, like, know exactly what they want and do it. And
yeah. Well, I think now a lot of the songs are 3 minutes because it's all, like, trying to be radio hits, and that's just the format that those have to be in. So yeah, but
I mean, to be fair, that's exactly the same thing that they said at the time too. Like, remember, I don't know if you saw Bohemian Rhapsody, which I also don't think is the greatest movie, but what there is a part of that is true, where they like Bohemian Rhapsody 12-minute song, but they were like, that's way too long. Like, it's always been a thing. Like, if you're an artist and you're trying to push the boundaries of the format, people are going to say, it's too much. You can't do that. And then you have to prove them wrong.
Yeah.
With the sheer quality of what you're giving. And if you can do that, then you're one of the greats. You get to change the culture.
But I think at least, like, you know, in maybe, like, you know, decades past, there was more of an... I guess it was a different, like, the popular genres have, I mean, pop was always, I guess, popular, but then, like, when rock and roll was more prevalent, like, people just accepted that a lot of the songs were longer, not 12 minutes, but But
like, if you think about like people like Kendrick, pushes the boundaries with like the lengths of his songs. No one's out there saying,
oh, yeah, but those aren't the popular ones. Like, nobody's playing Fear over the radio.
But people still like them. Like, I'm not saying
only
that,
if
like,
you're diehard. Like, only if you really, really are into Kendrick.
I don't really want to, like, draw this, like, firm line between the past and now. Because I think that, like, a lot of these same things are just, like, proclivities that human beings have.
Yeah. I think I just remembered, like, reading that some. I just don't have my citations open.
You did, I'd still challenge what you're saying. Like, I don't think that, like, I think that this is one of the things that maybe is one of the things that makes me difficult in an academic setting, is I'm irreverent regardless of the context. Like, I'm going to be critical no matter what it is. Like, I want to understand the argument before I just accept it.
Yeah. This film as a whole was interesting because it kind of didn't, I feel like it didn't fully know, like, I guess it did know what it wanted to be, but it also was like, I'm not sure to what extent, because it was like partially like a, you know, a movie, and then more, but then it also felt like a TV movie, and the editing was just, I was like having trouble with figuring out like what was going on at times, because it just like jumped like crazy amounts.
No, I definitely, like, it's interesting because I feel like I have a specific perspective on this, having like taken global history of cinema right now, because when this movie came out, concert films were like a pretty recent development in cinema. Like, it's not a musical, it's a concert film, because again, rock stars were a pretty recent development. Like, the Beatles happened, then the Beatles made their films, and that was a whole new thing that had never been done before. And then Gimme Shelter came out, and people, like, you know, were like, the life of a rock star. Like, it's interesting because, again, I've been thinking a lot about how life imitates art and art imitates life, and then life imitates art and then art imitates life, and it's just a back and forth cycle that just keeps going and going. But this movie is very much like, it's trying to do a lot of different things in terms of genre, and that's why it feels a little bit disjointed, because it's trying to be a concert film, which is, for all intents and purposes, a documentary. And it's also trying to be a fiction film, which is very, very different. It's a narrative. And so it does have a little bit of that back and forth. But in that way, I think it's like very innovative. And sometimes things that are innovative feel uncomfortable because it's not the form that we're used to. Because it's basically just a movie where, like, you're set in this place that is sort of Prince's life, which is performance. And it's talking about performance in this sort of almost like Brechtian way. Like, we're sitting here and we're watching Prince performing a version of himself that he has written. And that's basically what all of his music is. And we're watching him, and we in our head know that he's Prince, but we're deluding ourselves into his art in order to appreciate it. And I don't know. All of these things are why I love film so much, you know?
Yeah, I think it's just like, I feel like when you watch the movie, you're there for Prince's, you know, performances and less of the overall plot.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Like,
exactly. Like, I know. But that's what makes it stray a little bit from the classic, like, Hollywood film, because it doesn't follow the, it doesn't follow, like, to give the Bohemian Rhapsody example, like, the biopic.
Yeah, and I love that part of it. Like, if this movie was a biopic, I would probably hate it.
Biopic. Sorry about my pronunciation.
It's all good. No, but I just, like, think about this movie as a straightforward, in terms of, like, structure, formally, biopic. It wouldn't be as enjoyable, because it wouldn't have that same artistic license that Prince is able to give himself in transfiguring his life into art. Because he gets to choose what details to show and what details not to show. It's a lot more respectful and consensual, in my opinion. And, like, he gets to choose whatever version of himself he gets to create. It's kind of a beautiful, like, moment to, like, be able to rebuild yourself into your own art. And I think that's a beautiful moment to trigger Purple Rain.
Yes, we this have to play this.
This has been Unboxed, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford Tufts, Freeform Radio. I don't know if I'm emotionally ready for this.
I never meant to cause you any sorrow. I never meant to cause you any pain. I'm the one who wants to have you laughing. Let me guide you.